This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track Podcast. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. How you all doing? Hope you're well. I've got a great episode for you today. I'm sitting down with star of Celebrity Gogglebox, actor, comedian, writer, Babatunde Aleshi, and we have a wonderful chat. We talk about some incredible records. We talk about growing up in Tottenham, and you know the balance of trying to maintain a job while you try and strive to achieve success in you know the arts alongside trying to sort of balance the paying the bills and things like that. It's a really lovely chat, and Babatunde is just such a top dude. You're in for a treat on this one. Before we get on with the episode, a few thank yous. Thanks to Scroobius Pip, my buddy, and podfather of the Distraction Pieces Network. Go check out that network. It's absolutely Ramo with Ace Podcasts, and I feel very proud and privileged to be part of that gang. Thanks to 76 for producing this podcast. Thanks to you lot. Hopefully you're safe and enjoying the freedom that we've been told we're allowed to have. Whatever your thoughts are on that, I just hope however you're dealing with that is bringing you happiness, because this is recorded the week that restrictions have been dropped. I just hope by the time this podcast, you know, comes out, we're not all back in lockdown. So yeah, I hope you're enjoying the freedom in however you choose to enjoy it. Right, enough about that. Back to today's episode. I should also say that if this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track, then go and check out the archives when you've finished this episode, because if you like comedians, then you can hear me talking to, who have I had on? Let's have a little thing. Ed Gamble, James Acaster, Maisie Adam, who else? Jade Adams, Rich Wilson, Marcus Birdman. There's loads. There's stacks of comedians that have been on, and they're all ace natters, as is this one. If you like your musicians, then you can hear me talking to artists as diverse as Fatboy Slim, Motley Crue, Foo Fighters, gosh, Yellow Wolf. Yeah, there's hundreds. Go and have a rummage. Go get stuck in and see what you can find. But right now, don't go anywhere. Just put your feet up and crank up the volume a little bit and enjoy today's episode of Off the Beaten Track Podcast with the wonderful Babatunde Aleshi. Right, I've got to take a quick break in this podcast because I've got some super exciting news. Off the Beaten Track Podcast is proud to go into partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. That's right. The Cacao Bar is not a chocolate bar. It's all the best bits of a chocolate bar put into a really exciting new alcoholic range. That's right. Gin, vodka, and a beautiful range of cream liqueurs. So one of the big bonuses of this partnership is obviously I'm super thrilled to have Hotel Chocolat working with us, but they sent me a great big box of this stuff. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. Go and check it out, www.hotelchocolat.com, or over on the socials at Hotel Chocolat. But yeah, in the coming months, there's going to be opportunities for you to get involved with competitions with us, to win bottles of stuff. There's loads of exciting things coming soon, and I can't be more happy to say that this podcast is in partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. All right, let's get back to the podcast.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Right, we are recording. Babatunde, how are you?
How you doing, mate? I'm good.
Excellent, excellent. Well, look, before we get into the song choices and your playlist today, we're recording this the week of what was originally meant to be called Freedom Week, which, as somebody that runs a nightclub, doesn't really appear to be Freedom Week, but I won't start ranting about that. Obviously we're gonna be positive about what's to come, but just casting your mind back over the last 15, 16 months, how have you found it as both a human being and as an artist?
You know what? In terms of the human side, I would say I've had a pretty decent time, and that's because I've got family. If I didn't have family and it was just, you know, if I was living at home with my mom and my sister, I'd be okay. But because I've got a wife, I've got a son, that has been the best thing ever. Obviously, there's been some deaths here and there, which has been sad. But for me personally, just enjoying this time with my wife and my son and getting to actually live in the house that we bought together.
Yeah.
I think that's been the best thing. Like, I couldn't have asked for more. As an artist, it's not been the greatest, but I have to say I've been fortunate, and I don't take that for granted at all. At all, you know what I mean? Like, me getting on Gogglebox and, you know, getting to sit with my mate Mo, that's been amazing for me. So yeah. I know there's been a lot of people that have like lost their jobs and all of this kind of stuff. And even me, I lost my job, but then, you know, TV came, so I was all right. But
was that a lot of the comedy work?
No. In terms of like comedy, I was always doing comedy, but I had an actual 9-to-5, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So yeah. So I lost that. I, you know, I got fired, and obviously because it, you know, there was not enough money to go around, you know, they had to let people go. And then literally not even a month later, you know, I landed Gogglebox. This was last year, the first time I did it. And then obviously my career just took off. And so for that, I'm grateful. I do not take that for granted. But yeah, man, it's been difficult. I don't want to get into like the vaccine side of things.
Yeah, but, of course, man.
It's been difficult, man.
I just want to sort of touch on that thing of sort of being a self-employed artist as such. Mm. And like when you had you were doing a 9-to-5, was there always that kind of sort of thought process of like, what have I got to get to make the jump to do this? Yeah. Full time, was that always in the balance?
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. That was always in the balance. And it was one, you know, I did the 9-to-5 because it was just like, look, I've got a wife, I've got a son.
Yeah.
I've got to make sure there's food on the table.
Of course.
And, you know, mortgages paid every single month. And finding that balance, bro, you know what it's like. No, you don't get no sleep half the time. You're waking up, you're having to go to work, you got bags under your eyes, you've only got like 3 hours sleep. And so, yeah, it was difficult, bro. I'm not going to lie to you, man. Yeah, but thank God for good friends like Mo, man. I'm not going to lie. Like, he really, really like stepped in and just, and it wasn't even a thing where, you know, I was asking him like, hey, I haven't got, you know, work. It was a thing of, hey, you know, I'm going on tour, would you like to come? And hey, there's Gogglebox, how about, you know, joining me on the couch for Gogglebox? And it was just like sick. And I didn't think it would end up the way it has ended up.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's ended up this way, but yeah, it's been awesome, man. It really has been.
Some things are meant to be, mate.
Yeah, bro, trust me, that's what it is.
All right, let's talk records. Track one, I'm going to ask you, please, to tell me the song that you regard as having the greatest ever intro, please.
Okay, it's called Water, No Get Enemy, and it's by Fela Kuti.
Oh, let's talk Fela all day long.
Yeah, let's do it. You, so you're a fan of Fela?
You know, of course.
Dude, you know what's so funny? Just before like we get into the song, so I stumbled upon him by accident. Like, I'm Nigerian as well. Like, yeah. And you know, my mum never told me about this artist. And I remember I was at a club and I was waiting to perform. And then I just hear this music and I'm just like, what the hell is this? This sounds like, because it was very like, it's jazzy, but it's also, it's got that kind of like, well, this track anyway, has that kind of salsa-ish
definitely
type of feel to it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sitting there, I'm just like, what is this? And then, you know, when you try and like Shazam a song or something,
yeah,
it wasn't coming out. So I went up to the DJ. I was just like, dude, what is this record? And he just told me. And I just remember, I think I wrote it down, got home, searched for it, bang. And then obviously got his whole catalog. And it literally for like the next 3 months, I was just like immersed into yeah. Fela. And I remember going up to my mum like, why haven't you told me about this guy?
when you sent the list over, I just presumed that you were just brought up around like Fela. I just presumed that was the music that was constantly on.
Never, bro. Never. Like, honest to God, I only started listening. Oh, I'm 34 now. I started listening to Fela when I was like, probably like 10 years ago. So like, yeah, you know, 24-ish kind of thing. But at the time, it's like, it's just like, I've lived my whole, you know, teenagers up to adult ages, and like I'm only getting introduced to Fela Kuti now. It hurt me so bad. And my mum was just like, what my mum told me is that in Nigeria it's a bit different, because Fela, although he is a hero, he was also looked at as a rebel.
Yeah,
do you understand? And at the time it was such a big deal. Like, some of these records were so controversial that if you got caught playing them, you know, the officers, the police officers, they'd obviously target you.
So really?
She was like, yeah. So she was telling me it was a bit tricky listening to a Fela song. Like, back then in Nigeria, it wasn't really tolerated. So I think it just became a thing where it just came second nature for her. Like, oh, yeah, she just doesn't listen to it. So she never introduced me to that music. But once I started playing it in the house, oh, my mum was like the happiest person on earth. Yeah, man. Yeah, but I love this song. I absolutely love this song.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful record. And like, when I have musicians on the podcast, I generally ask them about the sort of process of writing intros. And I mean, this is a long song. This is like a 9-minute song, isn't it? But most of Fela's works, like, you know, they're not 2-minute pop songs. And in regards to intros, when you would do comedy, would you have an intro track?
Yeah, I would. Like, at some shows, like especially like the black comedy shows, they always have like a DJ on stage and they're just like, yeah, what's your track that you're coming on to? And it's just like, I'll just play whatever the latest tune is that everybody's like rocking to. I wouldn't really always put any thought to it, but for me it's like, you know, when you're at home and you just want to like chill and just vibes, this is one of those tracks.
Absolutely. I mean, in regards to, before we talk about track two, I presume that maybe that was music that you were sort of exposed to growing up. What music was on at home, and was there music on at home growing up?
Yeah. There was lots of music on, all types of music. Obviously, I grew up listening to some Nigerian music, but that was all spoken in my mum's native tongue, which is Yoruba. So I'm a bit, I don't really understand it too much. I can pick up some words, but not all. And it's very, very percussion driven.
Yeah.
So it's a bit much for me. But in terms of like music that me and my sister, we listen to everything, like from rock to pop to rap to like anything that came on. Because remember The Box?
Yeah.
yeah. We were at the mercy of whoever, like, you know, was actually ordering. So we listened to every single song. I remember, it's so funny that me and you having this conversation. I remember it was an Aerosmith song. I don't want to close.
Don't want to miss a thing. Yeah.
That song. I remember that song coming on all the time. And for some unknown reason, we just grew towards it. Like, you know, okay, well, you know, it's music. So
yeah,
you know, we just kind of like adapted to the point where my sister, she's a huge rock fan. Huge rock fan. And I don't really, I listen to some, you know, rock that I like, but yeah, I'm more, you know, favoring like your old school hip hop with like, you know, with the jazz samples.
Yeah.
I favor that kind of music more. Yeah, yeah, but everything was on back in the day.
It's so weird that you mention rap and rock and we talk Aerosmith, because I think my introduction, I mean, I'm 48, I'm an old man, but like my introduction to Aerosmith was, I didn't even know who this weird looking dude was that was screaming alongside Run DMC. And I was what's going on? Like, who's this dude? It was like Run DMC were like this thing that just dropped when I was like 13, 14. It was like them, LL Cool J. It was like, oh my God, what is this new music? What is this? And then all of a sudden, there's just this crazy dude with long hair and like leather trousers, like screaming. And I was like, this is amazing. I had no idea that Aerosmith were this huge rock band in America. Incredible
track. Yeah, man.
Right, okay. Well, we're talking about You Don't Want to Miss a Thing and emotional sounding tunes. So for track two, I'm going to ask you to tell me the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
Yeah, this was Missing You by Puff Daddy and the Family.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me about hearing that.
Yeah, this was, as you know, this was, you know, the death of Notorious B.I.G. And I think I must have been in year five. So this is like 90s. Did he die in 96?
I think it was about, mid-90s.
Yeah, and I remember when I heard that track, everyone in my class was like emotional about it, because obviously, you know, we all listened to B.I.G. and we liked his music. But just the chorus itself, like, you know, obviously sung by Faith Evans, it was just so like beautifully sang. And I think that was the first time us as children in that particular class, like all my friends, we had experienced like a death that impacted like the world, or should I say like the rap world.
Yeah.
So anyone who listened to that music was affected by it. So it was, it was huge. And so it definitely was emotional. Obviously I wasn't crying, but it was a thing like, whoa, like, you know, that we lost a rapper over some, you know, beef between, you know, Tupac and Biggie and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that was emotional. It was.
What would the emotion have been?
It was a sadness that you're never going to hear another track, a new song by him. Obviously that hasn't been pre-recorded it was that that's what it was. It was just like, man, like, we're never going to get any more music from B.I.G. And he was amazing.
Yeah, of
course. Amazing lyricist. Yeah, you know? So yeah, but then it became even sadder when Tupac died after.
Yeah.
Tupac died first and then Biggie. Yeah. But yeah, it was just sadness, just pure sadness.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Was you aware of the sample? Did you know, had you heard the Police track?
No. And this is what, now see, this is where we get into the whole like sampling thing. Like, I remember I was watching TV and they played the original and I was just like, what? Like, what the hell? You know?
Ripped off.
I'm like, what's going on? I'm just like, I'm like, you're not allowed to do that, because obviously I'm so young. I don't know nothing about, like, you know, music and samples and all of this. And so this is where I started to understand that where, like, true essence of hip hop, you know, was birthed from that whole, you know, taking a sample and making a groove out of it. And that's why, like I told you earlier on, where, like, I like music with that, well, hip hop music with more of that jazz influence. Mm. That's what kind of drove me down that lane. And so as I got older, I started to listen into, like, your Miles Davis, all these type of, like, you know, these type of jazz musician, obviously listening to a lot of Pete Rock produced tracks, you know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, it just staying on topic with this song. Yeah, I didn't know at the time that it was a Police track, Sting, innit? Yeah, so yeah, that was nice. That was nice to see.
It's really weird now, because I've kind of, when sort of like De La Soul and stuff was happening in the late 80s and Tribe and Jungle Brothers and stuff like that, you know, my dad would be like, you know what that sample's from, don't you? And I was like, what? No. And then I'd go and find it. And I've realised now that I'm that old, that now it's gone full circle, that my kids are listening to shit. And I'm like, yeah, you know what that is, right? And they're like, no. And I'm like, oh, man, it's gone full circle. This ain't good.
But don't you find that it makes you appreciate both tracks even more 100%. Once you know where to... Yeah, because I'm a huge fan of MF Doom. Mm. Huge fan of MF Doom. And when I listen, when I find a sample that he's borrowed, I'm like, that is amazing how he was able to get that beat and chop it up and make it into this whole new creation. But it just makes me appreciate both artists, MF Doom and whoever else, even more. So that's the one thing I love about hip-hop. And even with this song, it did make me appreciate the original from Police, you know, because without this song, I wouldn't have known it.
And, you know, for anybody that, you know, that thinks that, you know, just looping a sample and rapping over it is a really easy thing to do, getting that right sample and making that sound the way that it needs to sound is pure artistry. That
absolutely
is complete artistry. And like, if it was simple, everyone would be doing it. And like,
spot on, bro.
It's that's an absolute art form. Like, it really, really is. Listen up. I've only got another new sponsor. Egg Fried. It's this super cool clothing label. And if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throwing a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humour in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, they do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this, they have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, EGGSALAD, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Egg Fried. Also, they've got a new kids range, and it's called Small Fried, and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com. Okay, right. A stand of formative years. Track 3. Song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
Rewind by Artful Dodger featuring Craig David, bro. Need I say more, man? Like the garage days, I don't think you could get any better, man. Those were the days, man. Yeah.
Do you know what? It's so weird. People can't see this, but like, whenever I speak to people that are probably around your age, and they mention garage, they smile like you smile. And they just talk about those years and that scene with such joy.
Yeah, bro. Happy days. Because the music was, it was fun. It was all about love. It was all about having a good time. It's
very British.
Yeah, very British. Yeah, you're right. Before it turned violent.
Yeah.
With the grime and all of that. But no, yeah, rewind. I remember the first time I heard it, honest to God, the first thing I said, I remember this so clearly. I was just like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Because I was just like, this sounds too good.
Yeah.
It sounds too good. And yeah, like, honest, like, we were just singing it every single day on the bus towards school, or like going back home. Just this was on repeat.
Yeah,
on repeat. I've rinsed this song, mate.
It still sounds so good, though.
It does.
It hasn't dated. Like, some of the old Gary's tunes don't quite stand as fresh as they did.
Yeah,
this still sounds vital.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Awesome track, man. Awesome. And obviously we got introduced to, you know, Craig David through this song. Incredible artist. But Artful Dodger, just their production alone, like when you talk about, you know, garage, man, just they were up there in terms of production, just flawless. They had tracks after tracks. But this Rewind song here, Jesus. Nah, man.
Tell me about school. Where was it and how was it?
Okay, so I went to school in North London in Hornsey. It was a school called St. David's and St. Catherine's, a.k.a. D&K. I grew up in Tottenham, but that was like one of the schools that was around the area. So I went there. School was awesome, man. School was awesome. It was just your typical school, like your typical British, you know, state school, where it's just like lots of fights, but good times as well. You know what I'm saying? And lots of parties. Yeah. I remember being at parties from an early age, from like 13, you know, up and down Tottenham.
Yeah.
Just going parties in the area, going to house parties, which I miss. I miss a good house party.
Yeah, they're always the best.
Yeah, exactly, bro. So... school was fun loving. I'm still friends with all my mates from my class. We're all buddies today. You know what I'm saying?
What did you want to be when you was at school? Did you have any idea?
Comedian.
Really?
Yeah. I knew from early on, man. It was just like, you know, I was just a class clown. And it was like, I could tell from, it was different with anyone else that was funny in the school. Like everybody else was funny. Mine was a bit more polished, you know, and I just kind of knew from then that, okay, I've got like a gift for this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wanted to be a comedian from early.
Was you confident?
I was confident, yeah. In terms of my joke-telling ability, definitely confident, you know, but I was broke at the same time. So it was just... I couldn't get no girls, no nothing. I had to make the girls laugh. You know them ones?
And you know, you talk about being broke and comedy, famously ridiculously competitive industry, you know, to break through at and achieve the, you know, the success that you've achieved, which is great. Confidence aside, what about drive? Are you driven?
I am driven. It definitely takes you go through, you know, waves. It definitely took a dip a few years back, but I believe that now with the way things are going, it's, you know, getting back up there. So yeah, I'm definitely driven. Definitely driven.
How tough is that to be sort of trying to maintain a full-time job and, you know, keep pushing, you know, and doing gigs and stuff, you know, however many nights a week. I know some comedians are literally 5-6 nights a week. Like that's gotta be brutal, right?
Yeah, it was. I'm not going to lie to you, bro. Like I told you, man, like I was getting home at silly o'clock, bro. Like, and then literally having to just be like, oh, I haven't eaten, but you know what? Just go to bed, wake up in the morning, have your breakfast, then go work. And, you know, work started at 8 every morning. And when I moved out to where I live now in Hertfordshire, it was just like, I have to travel like at least an hour and 40 minutes to get into work. Wow. And so that was just another headache, you know what I'm saying? But it's just like, I wouldn't look at myself back then as being driven, but clearly the evidence is there.
Hindsight. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I would have thought that, man, I've got no confidence in myself. But the fact that I just kept doing it and doing it and doing it, eventually it paid off. Yeah. You know what I mean? So sometimes, I always say this to people, sometimes it's not about your actual confidence in yourself. Sometimes it's habit. Just keep at it and then develop the habit. Because by the time you turn around, you'll be like, oh, snap, I'm in the place that I always wanted to be. And you'll think to yourself, oh, what led me here? And you just see that your habits, if you've got good habits, you'll get there. You know what I mean?
Totally. Thank you. Track 4, first song you bought from a record shop.
We're going back in time again, bro. Rewind, you know what I'm saying, from Artful Dodger. Yeah, this is the first track I bought.
Would that have been CD?
Yeah, yeah, this was CD time. So this was, I think this was Virgin Megastores, yeah. If I'm correct. Yeah, yeah, this is, because I remember our price, but I don't think I bought, I know some of the young listeners are just like, our price, what the hell is that? They don't remember the record stores, but yeah, this was back in the day. Remember when you could go inside Virgin Megastores and you can actually listen to the track? And you'd just go there, put a whole album on and just stay there for like an hour and just, yeah, this is in those days. But yeah, this was the first track I bought. I think it was like $1.99 on CD or something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was so happy when I bought it. I came home, played it like crazy. Me and my sister dancing. My mom just like, whatever, you guys just get, so long as you're happy and like you're entertaining yourself and you're not disturbing me. My mom was just like, do what you're doing, innit? So...
In regards to sort of finding a record, like you mentioned that you'd get that, it blew your mind, you took it home and just rinsed it. And the same when you heard the fella track, I've got to get this, got to listen to it. Like if you hear tracks to this day that sound new and fresh and just capture your attention, is it something you stick on a couple of times or are you the sort of person that will listen to it 20 times straight?
Ooh. I think I'm getting to the point now where I'm starting to have some distance between every time. Because I listened to a track yesterday that I found from an artist called Eric Robeson. And I love the track. And I said, you know what? Let me let this one simmer. I'm not going to rinse it straight away because it was such a good track. I was just like, I'm not going to rinse this, you know what I'm saying? But back in the day, my Lord, I would like literally, you know, when you could put it on repeat, I'd literally just press repeat and just have it going off and off and off and off. But yeah, the older I get, I'm starting to appreciate music because, you know, like there's some songs that age like wine, bro. Yeah. Like especially like garage, there's some garage tracks that if you listen to like now, geez, you're just like, oh my days, this song here, like Flowers. When you listen to Flowers, you're just like, yo, I remember where I was when I first heard this and did it. Like the feeling that you got listening to a garage track, you just don't get that from music. Now, well, maybe the young kids do.
Yeah.
But me, I don't get that feeling no more. Like,
but you know what I mean? Do you think that's nostalgia? And did you think that the minute you hear Flowers, you must have a million and one visuals in your head of like times and places and clubs and, you know, all of the things that must have been happening then?
Yeah, yeah. I think it is. I think you're right. It is nostalgia because back then it was new for us.
Yeah.
You know, pirate radio was, I remember when that was booming and the first time I heard.
What was that then? Was that Rinse? What was.
No, what was it? No, this was like real pirate radio. So this is like Deja Vu, Heat FM.
Yeah.
This was like those, like, you know, those We Could Get Arrested Tonight pirate radio. And I remember when I heard Miss Dynamite for the first time, when she did that song Boo. Oh my God, who are the producers? Oh, I forgot. But I remember the first time that dropped. Oh my God. Everyone. I remember because the first time it dropped, everyone, you could do like your text, your live text call-ins and stuff like that. Everyone just texts, yo, wheel that tune, wheel it, pull it up, everything. Like that song used to go off on pirate radio. And then obviously that launched her career. But yeah, man, all them songs, Flowers, Rewind, all of this, hearing it on pirate radio, bro, you don't get that feeling, bro. Like, it was just, you know what I mean? Like, you know when you're on a club and you're partying, and then, like, the DJ just spins on a track, and it's just like, oh! Like, when Rewind, the first bit of Rewind used to drop, like, Rewind, oh my God, yo, the crowd would lose their nut, bro.
Oh, I love it. Right, we're talking clubs, and so I'm going to ask you for track 5, for the song that soundtracked your year's clubbing, please.
Yes, so this was from the Diplomats' Dipset Anthem. Oh, now, this is a heavy, heavy hip-hop track. I think the reason why I love this track the most is because of the reggae sample that they used to produce this track. Obviously, me being from Tottenham, you know, there are lots of Jamaicans, you know what I mean? And so the reggae influence was just throughout my whole life. Even me being a Nigerian, my dad used to listen to reggae as well. Yeah. I know reggae, you know, it's heavy in British culture from like your ska to like, you know, just normal reggae. Mm. So, hearing the reggae sample on the track, and it's a hip hop track from America, that impacted like the streets in London. So this track really resonated with us really, really strongly. So yeah, man, we heard this go off in the clubs all the time, all the time. This is like one of the only songs where people, like probably like rival gangs, will just put down their guns for like maybe like 3 minutes and be like, you know, for the next 3 minutes, we're going to party.
You know, but I don't like you though, right? Remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't like you, but for the next 5 minutes, we're on good terms. Yeah, G. Yeah, man. This was a banger, man. This was a banger.
So where was clubbing? Tottenham?
Yeah, in and around Tottenham. I clubbed everywhere because obviously I wasn't part of no, you know, gang or anything. I wasn't affiliated to anything. So I partied everywhere. I partied Hackney, Brixton, you know, your West End clubs, everywhere, East London. Yeah. But when you're talking like just, yeah, locally, oh God, they always change the name of this club in Wood Green.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Oh, God, what was it called? Coochie? They called it Coochie at one point. So, yeah.
So, what would you want from a night's clubbing?
Oh, I got to hear some old school garage. I got to hear some 90s R&B.
Yeah.
I got to hear some 90s hip-hop and R&B. I think that was the best time. That was the golden era. Well, not... Yeah, it was kind of like another golden era for hip-hop.
It was definitely the golden era of R&B, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't get it like that no more, innit? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. There's probably loads of people that are under 20 going, are you still on fucking drugs? Of course there are. maybe we're just old, man.
We're showing our age, innit? Like, you know?
Back in the day, in my day.
Nah, but it's true, though. Like, it's true. Like, you know, you had, like, the songs we had back then were just incredible. You know what I'm saying? But, 90s R&B. Garage hip hop, and some reggae.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, we got to hear some dancehall, man.
Nice
dancehall. Yeah.
Okay, right. I'm going to take you home. Track 6. Favorite song from an artist from your home county, please.
Burna Boy.
Nice.
Yay. Yeah, nice. Man. Great record.
Absolutely. Tell me about Burna Boy.
Burna Boy. I think he is. I don't want to say he's a modern day fella. Let's not do that.
he's making some serious waves though, isn't he?
He is. And I love the fact that his music is crossing over America, like buying into him. And, you know, P. Diddy just executive produced his latest album. So
really?
He's making waves, bro. He's making some waves. But this track right here, I think for a long time, African music was never in the discussion in terms of like, you know, the youth, you know, when you had Fela, that was obviously like the 70s and the 80s. Sure. So, you know, that was a different generation. But in my generation, if you wasn't Jamaican, then really and truly, people didn't want to know who you were in the black community. They didn't really care. And so as a Nigerian, we had so much culture. So for someone like, you know, your Burna Boys and your WizKids, for, you know, them to kind of like popularize African music and make it credible, you know, be Grammy nominated and be taken serious, and their music actually cross over to everyone, even the West Indies, you know what I'm saying? I love this track because this is the one track I know I can put on and my Jamaican friends will be like, this is a tune.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing it for them. And I don't like this tune just for them, but I love the fact that it does that because at one point, like I said, no one used to take our music seriously. So the fact that they take Burna Boy seriously, they're just like, yo, I like Burna.
Yeah.
Speaks volume, you know what I mean?
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, this is when you can play DJ now for track 7 and turn someone on to something new. So for that track, I'd like you to tell me a song that many people may not know that you would like them to hear.
Okay, it's called She Was Fly, and it's by Full Crate and Mar.
Where did you discover that? Because I discovered it yesterday when I got the list from you.
How did I stumble upon this? I think it was SoundCloud. Yeah, it was SoundCloud. I was, you know, on SoundCloud, you just click, 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 and you snoop around. And I just stumbled upon these guys and I was just like, what the hell is it? Like, that was literally my reaction. Like, what the hell is this? Like, it sounds so good. And then from SoundCloud, I went onto YouTube and actually, you know, started seeing a lot of visuals. And this was one of the songs that I saw in terms of the video too. And it was an amazing video, very simple, but amazing. And then it was just like, yeah, I love this song.
You know what I mean? From what I could gather from, I listened to it and I thought it was a really, really cool track. Stunning vocalist.
Yeah.
So they're like a production duo and...
Yes.
Yeah.
So Full Crate and Mar, they're both producers. No, sorry, Full Crate is the producer and Mar is the singer.
Yeah.
But on this song, it's featuring Eric Robeson.
Yeah.
Who's singing the vocals. Yeah, and they just make incredible music together, like, you know, Full Crate and Mar. I think they're from the Netherlands.
Yeah.
If I'm correct.
That's where all the big producers are from, isn't it? It's always that kind of Scandinavian is where like all of these like huge pop production duos go and like just make some serious tunes. And it's like the amount of times you just hear these like incredible records and you're like, man, did he write that? No. Like, who wrote it? Oh, this duo from like Norway or Sweden. It's just always this Scandinavian kind of duos of producers. Do you still sort of actively search for new music?
I don't, not as much as I don't have that much time like I used to, but I certainly do love the feeling now that I get when I stumble upon like a new track that really captures my attention. You know what I'm saying? Like I live for that feeling because it's just like you feel like you've found gold or something. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's a great feeling. But no, back in the day when I had free time, when I was broke, I had time to like snoop around and find these tracks. But yeah, not anymore, man.
Well, so, you know, I just want to ask you this: if you are, you know, in times when you know you might be broke or you might be, you know, if you wake up and you're feeling low, you're having a bit of a blue day, not really feeling it, what's your process at that point? Will you reach for music that is somber that will help you process that emotion and almost give it a bit of a hug for a bit and enjoy and process feeling a bit low? Or are you like, right, where's the best of S Club 7? I'm going to go and have a dance around my kitchen to that. Like, what's what's the process for you?
You know what? I was going to say the first, but it's the latter now, man. It has to be the S Club 7 way, man. I'm Nah. I definitely, you know, go through that process of listening to music that's going to, like, aid the mood. you know, for a bit. But yeah, I think now what I'm going to do, let Aiden move it, top it up with the S Club. It has to. You know what's so funny, bro? I think it was like last month, my sister came over and we were drinking, and then me and my wife, my sister, we just slapped on S Club 7 and we were just singing along to it, you know?
Do you want me to edit this bit out?
Yeah, man. Love a good bit of S Club 7. Because you know what? In my house, we love karaoke.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love karaoke. And my son's only, he's going to be 5 next week. And he loves karaoke. Yeah. Like, we do karaoke nights sometimes, like on a Friday. And when we first started doing it, man, it was hilarious. Because this was when, like, my son couldn't really speak.
Yeah.
So he was just tearing up songs. You know?
Love it.
He's literally doing his own thing, you know. But, yeah, we love it, man. We love a good sing song.
Does that extend to being out and about? If you're in a bar and there's karaoke, you step up?
I don't. I was so shy back in the day. Yeah. I think now I would. You know,
okay.
We haven't been out in so long, you know.
with that in mind, what would be your tune?
Ooh. It has to be, let's go for Oasis, Wonderwall.
Nice. Solid.
Yeah, let's
solid.
Go for
get the crowd on board as well with that one. They'll be singing along. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Well, you know, you said you haven't been out for however many months this thing's been, so you know we're in the week now where we are allowed to go back out and we are allowed to start, you know, reconnecting with people and in enjoying the, you know, that what hopefully will be a new, more positive and reconnected normality. With that in mind, what are you looking forward to personally from the rest of 2021, and what's going to be happening professionally?
I'm looking forward to just going to a nice beer garden, having a cold one, and just like you said, singing along to whatever song gets every, like once everybody's drunk,
yeah.
Singing along to whatever song comes on. In terms of what's the rest of the year looking like, I'm fortunate enough to be going on a comedy tour with Mo. He's doing the Mo to Life tour. And yeah, we'll be touring from September all the way through to December, with, you know, me doing my cameo TV bits here and there. So people will definitely still have a chance to see me. Obviously, Gogglebox has ended now. And so, man, people will still get to see me on their screens, though.
Amazing.
So watch this space.
And if people want to keep up to speed on everything you're doing, where's the best place to keep up with what you're up to?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram, Babatunde Comedian. You know, you type that in, you will find me. And then on Twitter, Babatunde Comedy.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, if it's cool with you, when this comes out, I'll tag you in it. So if people aren't following you, then they can do so.
Love, my bro. Thank you so much, man.
Mate, it's been a delight talking records with you. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you. Take care, bro.
There you go. Oh, what an absolute gent. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Thanks huge amounts to Babatunde for giving up his time for that. Absolutely joyous chat. Hope you guys enjoyed it. As mentioned at the beginning, go check out the back catalogue. There's stacks of episodes with all your favourite comedians, musicians, producers, DJs, actors. Go experience and explore the 320 episodes that are available there. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast, all I ask is that you give us a like, love, share, retweet on the socials. And if you want to go that little step further, for 79 pence a month, you can support this podcast on Patreon, /Off the Beat and Track. And over there, you get access to another couple of hundred episodes there, all loads and loads of video episodes, all sorts of goodies over there, weekly content, radio shows. And it costs you $1 a month and it just goes in the pot to help with the podcast. Right, I'm done. Everything you need to know about this podcast, www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. I'm back next time. Thanks ever so much for listening. Be excellent to each other, you ruddy, bloody, lovely lot. See you soon. Bye-bye.
is Off the Beaten Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. Keep me, Stu, with him.